Hello and welcome to the very first episode of What's Your Point?
Welcome to What's Your Point? The podcast that gets inside the heads of business people, entrepreneurs and thought leaders in South Down. This podcast is sponsored by Navigator Financial Planning, the financial planners of choice for Northern Ireland business. Here's your host, David Crozier.
Today I'm speaking with Martin Bradley of Bradley NI, estate agents and chartered surveyors. Martin shares with us his experience of 30 years in the property business, his challenges with succession in a family business, and how he sees the future in an online world. So let's have a chat with Martin Bradley. So welcome, Martin.
Thanks, David. Thanks
for coming in. So let's get right into it. Just tell us, what exactly do you do?
That's a good question, David. There's many a morning I wake up myself and wonder what I do. Well, I suppose the easy answer is estate agent and surveyor, but to elaborate on that, you can be a lot of things to a lot of people. But primarily, what people see in the front of them is the face of it is the estate agency. Mm-hmm. And that is what it says on the tin. Uh-huh. Primarily residential property, buying and selling of residential property. You're dealing with buyers and sellers. I often say that, to a certain extent, what I am is a manager of people's expectations.
Well, okay, that's really interesting.
Because obviously as a vendor, people's expectations are at one level. Mm-hmm. As a buyer, the people's expectations are at another level. And obviously for any deal or any agreement in any facet of life, you have to reach somewhere, a compromise in the middle. And that's what we are. We're facilitators of reaching that compromise. Now, at the same time, we always primarily, we are acting for the vendors. Mm-hmm. They're the people that put the bread and butter on our table. So they're our person. They're our customer. Uh-huh. So we're trying to encourage buyers.
Yeah.
But buyers have to be satisfied as well.
Yeah.
So we're trying to provide a service to facilitate all those people in the property market at any one particular time.
That's really interesting. I hadn't really thought about the managing the expectations thing. That's something that we have to do as well. But I was speaking to a family member of mine who's thinking about selling the house at the minute, and he'd said to me, "Oh, so and so had said that his house might be worth this. What if we put it on it more than that?" But just talk me around that.
Oh, there's all the psychology and the tactics, and I suppose again, our experience comes into play. You know, do you put a house on at a low price to try and generate interest in it? Do you put it on at a higher price so that maybe you'll come within 5 or 10,000 of that expectation? And each one is on its own merit. Mm-hmm. There's no one game plan out there for that suits all. Uh-huh. You're looking at properties, maybe something isn't mortgageable. So you say, look, we're going to have to put this on the low price and maybe see if we can get the cash buyers and build it up to a price that you're satisfied with. So I say there's no one fits all solution to it. Mm-hmm. And that's where you employ the like of us to come in and give you that guidance and give you that philosophy, our philosophy on selling property. Now, not all vendors agree with it, which is understandable because, again, it's all to do with their expectations. Yes. So I still think that, personally speaking, if you put something on at a fair price, the market will come to it.
Up or down, yes.
It'll come to it. So long as it's fair and reasonable, not beyond expectations, then you're in with a fighting chance of selling it. If you put something on that's just too dear, the market will tell you that and they'll stay away from it.
Yeah. So you mentioned in passing there, you just sort of said maybe a property's not mortgageable, which brings in the other side of what you do, which is the chartered surveyor thing. And I would imagine you see an odd, interesting in the Chinese sense, property.
Yeah. You do get all sorts, certainly. Like the other side of our coin, or one of the other sides of our many coins, is the chartered surveyor work and going out and inspecting properties for banks or home buyers. Mm-hmm. And you do see all types of property, and you do see people maybe trying it a bit to tell you how great their property is and it's worth X amount of pounds, and they're trying to raise 90% loan on it, and the property's not even mortgageable. You know, to be mortgageable, it has to be habitable.
Yes.
Like, you know, it's sort of fundamental stuff. You need a kitchen in it, you need a bathroom in it, you need some sort of heating usually in it to make it mortgageable, and you get all shapes and forms.
Okay. So how long have you been doing what you do, Martin?
Well, I started with my late father in 1991. Mm-hmm. So I've probably been coming up to 30 years now.
Right, wow.
And 2021. So long enough is mm-hmm. right. I started out life, believe it or not, as an electronic engineer. My primary degree was in electronic engineering, and I worked for 4 or 5 years with Short Brothers mm-hmm. in Belfast mm-hmm. as an engineer. Couldn't see myself doing that for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. So went back and did a part-time degree in Jordanstown in estate management with the intention of moving into the business with my father, uh-huh. which I did do then uh-huh. in 91. Been at it ever since.
Right.
People always asked, was it a wise move?
Yeah.
But it was a move that you make and you push on with, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yes, maybe the other job would have been a lot more comfortable, but it would have meant sitting at a desk 9 to 5.
Yes.
And that I didn't want my life to be sitting at a desk 9 to 5.
And I think what I'm really looking forward to as we get through this series of podcasts is that balance between businesses that have been around for a long time. I mean, PJ Bradley Property Service, which predates the current business, is around, 40 years?
Yeah, it would have started in 1981, so 10 years prior to me coming along. Yeah, my late father started.
So there's that, and then the businesses, the people that are coming in as entrepreneurs, and it's just trying to get inside the head of why do people go into business for themselves? I think it's an interesting conversation.
It is an interesting conversation. Why? Yeah, sometimes, like you, I'm sure you're the same. Many a day you say, like, there could be a more comfortable route through life mm. than being self-employed business person. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there is, but it's probably the challenge.
Yeah.
There's people that are up for a challenge in their lives, and there's people who do like the comfortable route.
Correct.
Neither's right, neither's wrong.
Exactly.
But it's probably just the cut and thrust of it.
Yeah.
And maybe the challenge and not knowing what's round the corner. Mm. That's what I like, you know.
Yeah.
You don't know. I don't know what I'm going to be doing this afternoon. Yeah. You could get a phone call and you could end up in Belfast, you know.
Yeah.
Which is great. You'll complain about it.
Yeah.
I have to go to Belfast.
Yeah.
But it's all part of it.
Yeah. And so you, Bradley and I, you've had a few changes in the last couple of years. Obviously, you know, your father passed away 2 years ago, wasn't it?
Three years ago.
And then you've had some changes since that. So, what's that all about?
Well,
if you're willing to talk about
the way it developed is basically after my late father passed away. Now, my father, believe it or not, had been out of the business for 20 years. You know?
Well, I know that because obviously he's a big figure in this
an MLA.
The
thing about my late father was that he was, again, a lot of things to a lot of people. And he started the business in 1981. Mm-hmm. He left it in 1998. So
right.
he spent 17 years in it.
Right.
I've been 30 years at it.
Right, you've been
a lot longer than he. But you know, especially
it's all his business.
Yeah, it's later years. Like, you know, people say, "Oh, you know, ask your father. He's had it a long time." You know, you're at it longer than me.
Yeah.
You know, so, than I ever was. But no, what happened then after his death? I was trundling away on my own, but I have three sons, and neither or none of them were actually coming into the business. And I found that myself that, even simply taking 2 weeks holidays, my father would have stepped in and did the viewings mm-hmm. and a few things like that. But the first couple of holidays came around and there was nobody stepping in to do the viewings. So I had a choice then to make to start employing people or take a different route. And it just so happened at that particular time, there was a company came along called GBR Estates, commercial property management company, coming from a commercial background. And they seen me with a residential history and sort of put the proposal. And we started chatting about starting this new enterprise, Bradley NI, which sort of encompassed both commercial and residential side to estate agency and property in general. So as a challenge, you know, I seen it as a challenge, obviously hoping to spread our wings, which we did do into Newry, and that's still in its infancy.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to evolve, and has been well received and well accepted within the Newry commercial business, especially, and the residential. Now we see ourselves going out towards White Cross and Cullyhanna and Cross Midlen, which you parts of the world we would never have seen before. No.
So again, it's I think this is going to be interesting as to how people are dealing with their succession, with the next thing, because as entrepreneurs, as business people in a very small, tight-knit community where we all know each other and, you know, we know where we live, we know where our dads came from, we know where our children live, we actually, you know, I do, most of the people that I'm going to talk to on this podcast, we know the people and we actually feel very responsible for them. So we don't want to leave them. Well, once I hang up my boots, what's coming behind? We don't want to leave it just that nobody else is leave them hanging. Yeah, is that a fair point?
It is a fair point, yes. You know, the option for me was maybe just to leave and close the door behind me, you know. And you would have felt a certain regret in doing that. So you would, you would like to see something happening behind you, whether it's through our family or not, which that obviously isn't going to be in my case. But you like to see the name still trundling on there, no matter what, no matter what's happening, you know. Like succession is a big thing, and I'm sure it the world is a changing place.
Yes,
you know, you can see it in this town where some of the older business have probably, again, not through choice, but have seen that the world is a changing place and people are doing different jobs and not necessarily the traditional jobs. So like there's everybody's future is different than ours was. So you have to accept that
and we do and I think the early acceptance of that and not trying to restrict the next generation to what we did, I think is really important.
It is. Yeah.
Which brings me to another point. What do you see the future for your profession? You know, in the online world, I mean, there's a lot of this online stuff going on. I mean, Property Pal is a place. Anybody can go and see everything. Tell me about how you see the future for estate agency in Sravan.
Yeah, well, as regards the estate agency side of things, yes, online is what we would probably class as a threat.
Yes.
Unless you join the online commodity. There were a few agents, especially based across the water, that were going down the online route only. Mm-hmm. I suppose the big one being Purple Bricks.
Yeah. But
exactly, they soon realised that there is more to life than correct. Sticking a property online mm-hmm. and waiting for the viewers to come and your transaction is done.
Yeah.
People still in this industry want face to face. They want somebody to shout at if it's nothing else.
Yeah.
You know, somebody to blame, somebody to turn to for encouragement or to answer their questions.
Mm-hmm.
And the online presence doesn't do that, or online-only presence doesn't do that. They like to be able to call in. They like to get to know you. They get to trust you. So you're not just a faceless name or a nameless face.
So I think this is really interesting. So we're in exactly the same boat. So a lot of what we do, a lot of what Navigator Financial Planning does in terms of the financial products can be and is being commoditized. But believe you me, we're in the middle of a very, very difficult period for investors. That's when we earn our corn, that's when people phone up, and that's when they absolutely want somebody to talk to. So I imagine it's something similar. So do you see some sort of hybrid between the online presence and the face-to-face? Look, Martin, I want to be able to look the whites of your eyes and trust that what you're telling me about this property is the truth.
That's exactly it. It's going to be a hybrid. It's a hybrid model, and that's the model that's probably going to succeed in the future. You can't just ignore online, because it is the future, and it's here, and it'll not go away.
Yeah.
But again, the face-to-face will be important. So a combination of both.
Yes.
That you increase your online and social media presence, and that'll be your marketing tools. Mm. But that's what they are. They're tools.
Yes.
They're tools within the industry.
Yeah.
What I probably have 30 years experience or 40 years as the business was experienced, we've seen a lot of changes and a lot of things come that have helped the industry. And, you know, photography being a simple one. And, you know, you've got drones, you've got all sorts of things.
Yes.
But the fundamentals haven't changed. you know, from the first house my father sold in Summerhill in Warren Point in 1981, the same fundamentals apply as they do today.
Yeah.
You know, there's the same of trying to get people together to try and get a property sold. You need a vendor, you need a buyer, and those are people before they're anything that's digital or online or anything. So online I see as a tool within our broad range of tools that we use to market ourselves and the properties. So yes, like it will be. It'll be a hybrid model. So I don't see the day that we'll all have to close our doors in the state agency and they'll disappear off the high street. I don't see that day coming anytime soon.
Yeah.
And again, on the surveying side of things, again, technology is something that we embrace.
Yes.
It's probably
going to make your job easier.
It does to an extent, yes. A lot less. Like I'm doing a home buyer's report just as, at the moment, it's sitting on my desk. But that's all done online. It's done, you know, downloaded and uploaded and sent to the client and sent to the various people. Whereas before, you would have been printing out seven copies and send one to the bank and one to the client.
But even things like physically mapping or measuring a property. I mean, I bought my first house. My wife and I bought my first house from your father. And it was, it was a physical, had to be there. And all the paper stuff that you're talking about, we bought this building and you surveyed it for us, and it was a stand in the middle of a room with a wee electronic gadget.
But you're essentially,
as you say, doing the same thing but using the tools.
Using the tools, that's the basic idea. And it speeds up the process, there's no two ways about it. But at the same time, David, what I always marvel at is that, again, harping back to the 1980s, the old adage was from agreeing a sale to a completing a sale was 8 to 10 weeks.
And it's still the same, is it?
You know, you're still saying,
seriously,
you're still, you know, so has it sped up the thing? I think sometimes it can create more work, you know, and not in the true sense of the word, but more things to do because you can do.
Right.
Yeah,
and I think that what you're saying, 8 to 10 weeks, I mean, we don't, Navigator doesn't do mortgages, but obviously we've got clients that need them. And you get solicitors saying, you know, 6 weeks, and I do think it's probably a bit optimistic to say six weeks.
It is. Well, it seems to be at the moment.
Yeah.
Like even the 8 to 10 weeks at the moment, we're finding it's probably more likely to be 12 weeks, you know. And so is that progress from what used to be 8 weeks? I think it is. There's more mapping to be done. There's more things can be searched for.
Yeah.
So there's more searches.
Yeah.
And they'll take sometimes a bit longer. So you're in a queue there for a certificate from planners or whatever. So it's just more information, so therefore more readily available, and therefore more people looking for it, and therefore a wee bit slower maybe to get.
So I have two final questions that are nothing as such to do with business. I'd say the first one kind of is, so why Warren Point? Why South Down?
Why South Down? Because I was born and bred here, I suppose. It was home.
In your bones.
It was in my bones, is right. And like again, that's what I go back and say, that I worked in shorts for 5 years. Shorts the business, not shorts the trousers, for 5 years, and it wasn't home. It wasn't home. I lived in Newry actually when I worked in shorts, and I travelled up and down before there was a proper road between the two. So
some would say there still isn't.
So I was leaving quite early in the morning. The family came along, children. So started 8 o'clock in Belfast. You were leaving at 6:30. And, you know, you were working maybe overtime. You weren't getting home to 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. And children were, you never see them. And, you know, you're sort of making life decisions.
Yeah.
And you say, like, this wasn't for me. So as regards Warren Point, it just was the local town. My father opened in Warren Point, actually more by accident than design. Bradley Property Services was meant to be opening in Newcastle.
Right.
In County Down. But for one reason or another, sort of weeks before he was due to open, something happened on the lease on the property in Newcastle, and we then started in 20 Duke Street, which was across the road from where we are now. It was two sisters by the name of Lachern owned that building, and literally with a 1 week's notice, my father took a lease in that building because he was going to have nowhere else to go. So Warren Point, as the actual hub of our operation, was by accident, rather than design.
But, okay, how do you feel about, and don't limit this to Warren Point, but I'm happy for you to do that if you want. How do you feel about sort of South Down, Newry, South Armagh as a place to do business in the current climate with all that's going on with Brexit, with the emphasis we have on tourism and all of that.
Yeah, well, I find with Southdown, I suppose you asked Newry and Southdown generally, that they're quite resilient bunch.
Yeah.
The Brexit will come and we'll take it. We'll take it on the chin.
We will.
We are influenced quite a bit by the Dublin mm-hmm. market. You only have to see the white vans, you know, everybody jumping in here mm-hmm. at 7 o'clock in the morning heading to Dublin. Mm-hmm. But personally, I don't think that's going to stop. I just don't think that all of a sudden there's going to be borders and yes, there may be tariffs, uh-huh. there may be different things, but where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah.
And people will work through that. They'll yeah. find the solution and they'll come out at the other end of
yeah.
it. And people are great at finding solutions.
Yeah.
It just has, well, it comes naturally to them, you know, either that or everybody would stop at every hurdle, you know, so it's just another hurdle that you yeah. have to get over. And they say, within Southdown, it's a beautiful place to live.
Of course it is.
And we have so much going for us. And as a estate agent, but back to the salesman's mm-hmm. hat, it's easy sold.
Yeah.
You only have to stand out in that front shore there.
Yeah.
And things literally, when you see that garden for lock, it sells itself.
Yeah, of course it does.
It sells
yeah.
itself. So I say, it's a lovely place to work. Uh-huh. It's a lovely place to live. So I would have never any aspirations of retiring to the south of France
yeah.
or anywhere like that, because I think we have everything that we need and
yeah.
want at our
yeah.
doorstep.
Yeah, I agree. Finally, this is more a philosophical question, Martin. If you could get one of your three boys, and your three boys are very similar ages to mine, but maybe even a bit younger than that, if you could get your 18-year-old self to sit down and listen to you, what one thing from your 30 years in the profession and before would you want to tell yourself?
Well, I would have been quite happy if any one of my 18-year-old children would have sat down and listened
to
me. Never mind myself. But look, you know, who am I to tell them what to do? I suppose looking back, like if you look back, I think the most important thing in life, irrespective of business or whatever, is happiness.
Yes.
You know, and that is happiness and health. And like whatever you do in life, if I was saying to my 18-year-old self, you know, retrospectively, I should have maybe did my degree in estate management when I was 18 mm. and not when I was 25 or 6 or 7.
But you don't know that.
But I don't know that, yeah. And I was happy doing what mm. I was doing at 18.
Mm-hmm.
So long as you go through life and carve out a happy life for yourself and contentment, well then, you know, you're doing something mm-hmm. right, irrespective of what it is. What your profession is.
Yeah.
So look back, I'd say that's the most important thing, is to make sure that you're happy in what you do. I always remember there was a gentleman, he was from Coca-Cola actually, and he gave a graduation speech in Queens one year, and I can't remember his name, but they had their plant in Lisbon
yeah.
at the time.
Yeah.
And there was one thing that he always said that stuck out in my head, and it was that if you're in a job and you're looking at the clock at 5 to 5,
yeah.
he says the best thing you can do is pack up and leave
yeah.
that job, you know.
Yeah.
And he's right, because obviously
yeah.
you're not happy in
yeah.
doing it. So, you know, something that gives you the passion, the happiness and the drive in life. And I think it'll make life an awful lot
yeah.
easier for anybody that comes
yeah.
along, whether 18 or
yeah.
80, you know.
Yeah. Martin, that's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for that. That was really useful, and
thanks
for coming in.
Thanks for having me, and success in your podcasts, and I hope they do well.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode with Martin Bradley. If you would like to know more about any of our guests, please have a look at the podcast section of the Navigator website, navigatorfp.com. If you would like to be a guest on What's Your Point, drop me an email, david@navigatorfp.com. Do remember to subscribe, and we look forward to chatting with you on the next episode.
What's Your Point is sponsored by Navigator Financial Planning. You can find them at navigatorfp.com, on Twitter @NavigatorFP, and Facebook Navigator Financial Planning. Please subscribe to get future episodes and stay up to date with what's happening in business in South Down. Enjoy the rest of your day. Navigator Financial Planning is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority.